We have so much to be thankful for here at HTBB. Since we launched the church and the Alpha Hub, which is the centre at HTBB from which we oversee the work of Alpha, serving churches right across the region, we've seen God do amazing things. The church has grown, we've planted churches, and the work of Alpha has grown so fast. And it's a really exciting time for the church in Asia. Actually, the Asian church right now is growing at about 2.5 times the rate of population growth. But I believe that we're only just getting started. And so much more lies ahead for us as a community and for you as a follower of Jesus, or a potential follower of Jesus. And my talk today is called The Next Chapter. Not just the next chapter of the Bible that we're going to read, but also the next chapter in the life of HTBB and the next chapter in your life and mine. And I want to read from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Actually, this is the passage that Sarah and I had read at our wedding, incidentally. And the prophet Isaiah wrote, not at our wedding, but around 740 BC to the year 700 BC. And he wrote before and during the exile. So unlike HTBB, it had not been a happy or fruitful time for God's people. But by chapter 55, God speaks through the words of Isaiah about his gracious invitation to people. And he begins to reiterate the calling that he has for the life of the people of God. And I believe this passage continues to speak to us today of the unchanging promises of God and what he calls us into. So let me read it to you now. This is the first 7 verses of Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen. What a passage. What might this passage be saying to us, HTBB, and to you and me as individuals? Well, the first thing I believe this passage says is it gives us an invitation to feed. An invitation for everyone to come to the Lord and be fed spiritually. It begins, verse 1, come, all you who are thirsty. This is an invitation for everyone, for all who are spiritually thirsty. It's an invitation to come to the waters of God's Spirit. And this notion was repeated by Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 37, when Jesus stood up and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. And then John goes on to explain, by this, he meant the Holy Spirit. Are you feeling spiritually dry or a bit burnt out? Come to the Lord and receive the life-giving water of his Spirit. And it's free. Verse 1 continues, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. I'm pretty sure if you went to the supermarket and you picked up a bottle of milk and maybe a bottle of wine and then tried to walk out without paying, you'd get into trouble. But not so in God's kingdom. His Spirit, His very life-giving presence is free. And the Lord does not discriminate. This is not an invitation for just the wealthy or those who might think they can buy God's favor through good deeds. No, this is for all who are desperate and thirsty and want more of Him. I remember a couple of years back, I was visiting the UK and I decided to meet up with an old friend of mine who lives in London. And he said, let's go out for lunch. He chose the place and I met him there and we sat down at the table. And I picked up the lunch menu and I looked at the menu. And then inside, I had this panic because I looked at the prices. I thought, oh my goodness. And my eye sort of scanned and found the one thing on the menu that I thought I might be able to afford. So the waiter came and said, you know, can I take your order? And my friend, he said, oh, I'll have the flank steak, please. And then he turned to me and said, what would you like? And I made my best effort to pretend that I really wanted the chickpea salad. Actually, it was the only thing I could afford. But at that moment, my friend leant across the table and said, Miles, you do realize lunch is on me. You're my guest. So order what you want. I can tell you, a menu looks completely different when someone else is paying. You suddenly have freedom of choice. Now, of course, Jesus has paid the ultimate price on the cross so that we can freely choose to receive the presence of the Spirit. We can eat the richest of fare without cost to us. But there is a three-part challenge for us associated with this invitation from God. Firstly, the Lord says, get your priorities right. Verse 2 continues, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what doesn't satisfy? In other words, God's saying, don't chase the things of the world before chasing more of me. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6. He said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these other things will be given to you as well. It's not that these other things are necessarily bad, but Jesus says, don't put them first. Put seeking God and His kingdom first. The second challenge the Lord gives us is He says, listen to me. We have to listen to God's plans for our lives. And of course, the primary way that God speaks to us is through His word, the Bible. A friend of mine worked in the financial services industry in London. If you work in finance in London, it's known locally simply as working in the city. You say, I work in the city. Well, he worked in the city, but he had this growing desire, hunger to serve God more and more. And his big question was, Lord, do I stay in my job to be salt and light in the office? Or should I retrain to be a pastor? That was his big question. And one morning he got up early, he was wrestling with this question, and then he decided to do his Bible reading for the day. And his Bible reading that day was Luke chapter 24. And in verse 49, Jesus says this, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. In that moment, he heard very clearly from the Lord and he knew he was to stay in finance and serve the Lord there. And he's done that faithfully for many years. God speaks to us through his word. We need to listen, but we also need to listen to him when we pray. Often our prayer life, if we're really honest, can sort of become a one-way dialogue of us speaking to God, normally telling him what we want, and sometimes even telling him how he should do his job. But we need to listen to that still small voice in the silence when we pray as well. Otherwise, it's a bit like, I don't know, going to the doctor's. You sit down in the surgery, you just tell the doctor everything that's wrong with you, And then you, once you finish speaking, you just like would stand up and walk out the door without listening to what the doctor has to say. So listen in the prayer times as well as speak. And then the final thing the Lord says in this invitation to us is he also says, eat what is good. We must choose to consume that which is good and wholesome and godly in our life. Otherwise, it can be a case of garbage in, garbage out. God doesn't force feed us like some goose trying to make spiritual foie gras. We must choose to eat what is spiritually good. And if we do, then the promise is in verse 2, your soul will delight in the richest of fare. This isn't the spiritual scraps that God is offering you, but the richest of fare, his very life-giving presence. He gives us a call to feed. Secondly, he gives us a call to lead. Leadership matters. And through the prophet Isaiah, God reminds the people of the love and everlasting covenant that he made with King David in verse 3. He holds up David as a model of leadership, as a proto-king, an example to follow. Now, although David was not flawless and made many mistakes, Jacinta spoke about that last week. However, this promise of a king ruling forever on the throne of David is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus, who was of the line of David and who is the King of Kings, who reigns forever. But Isaiah 55 doesn't stop there. We are the people of God now, and that means we're the body of Christ, the King of Kings on earth. And in verse 5, it continues with a challenge that we must lead. The Lord says, surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Why is this? Well, because if you found the source of water, then surely the only loving thing to do is to tell a dry and thirsty world about it and invite them to come and drink as well. And they will come because it says the Lord has endowed you with splendor. In other words, people will come to Christ by our example. And the only way to lead, ultimately, is by example. This summoning of the nations is then later prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 60. But what might this mean for us at HTBB? Well, for example, live streaming. From the end of Q3 onwards, we want to live stream our worship services from inside the hall at Lot 10. Now, our YouTube channel is doing really well. Thank you if you're watching this. You know, last year in 2023, we had over 1.6 million views. And this year, we're already tracking at a rate to have over 2 million. But we believe that more people than ever will be able to join us online if we live stream. And it gives a much better idea of what people will experience if they turn up to church physically than if they just watch pre-recorded content. And our content is already going all around the world, not just Malaysia. We have people emailing us from all different parts saying what God's done in their life as they've watched. But to live stream, we do need to invest in some extra cameras and some tech in the room. Now, some have already given generously to this, but we need some more. So please, if you can, pray about what you might be able to give. We want as many people to hear the good news about Jesus as possible. And this calling out, leading to the nations, is also fulfilled at HTBB through the work of the Alpha Asia Pacific Hub. Do you know, last year, remarkably, around 420,000 people explored the Christian faith in Asia by going through an Alpha course. And our role is to oversee that work and help train churches to run Alpha. and thousands of churches are running it. It's an amazing time to see what the Lord's doing in his church in this region. And this June, we will host at HTBB something called the Alpha Regional Gathering. We'll have about 700 senior pastors and youth pastors coming for a week to focus on reaching the next generation, Gen Z, with the tool of the new Alpha Youth Series. And we've just launched the new Alpha Creative Hub, from which here in KL we'll be creating future Alpha videos and series and contextualized products for the world. This is such an exciting time. Our friend Bishop Rick Thorpe always says that for a church to be able to grow and reach out, it needs at least 20% of the congregation leading, serving, and being developed as leaders. This is why we run leadership gatherings, we run the LDI, the Leadership Development Internship, and we encourage everyone to join a team at HTBB. Now, you might not feel like you're a leader, but I want to suggest that you are. How so, you might say? Well, leadership has been defined as influence. And as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, you become a person of influence. You might not have a blue tick next to your name on social media, but you are an influencer, because when you become a Christian, other people will be watching you to see what difference it makes. And our calling here is to lead as God to something amazing amongst the nations. It's an invitation to feed, it's a call to lead. But also in Isaiah 55, God says, turn in need to me. Turn in need of forgiveness. We read this in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You know, our God is so gracious. He offers forgiveness and mercy to all who turn to him. It says of God, he will freely pardon. This is because of the cross. Jesus has dealt with your sin and mine on the cross. We can turn to him in repentance and be forgiven and set free. And one of the ways in which we can ensure that more and more people hear this good news is through church planting. And the Diocese of West Malaysia, of which we are part, has a new vision to see the planting of new worshiping communities right across the country in the next 10 years. And we will play our part by helping establish something called the Church Planting Centre, which was launched yesterday at the diocese's first church planting conference, which we presented at. This is an exciting new chapter for the church in Malaysia. What a privilege to play a part in it. Now, it's all well and good talking about new opportunities and big vision, but we must never forget that God's heart is for the one. It's for you. It's for your loved ones. It's for your children, your colleagues at work. It's for your friends at college. It's for your neighbors. And when anyone turns to the Lord Jesus in repentance, he does the most remarkable work in their life. My oldest friend, I've known him since I was aged 5, is called Mike. And Mike now lives, well, we grew up together in the UK, then he lived in Japan, and he now lives in Australia. And Mike was going through a tough chapter in his life due to some ill health. And he didn't know this at the time, but I'd been praying for Mike for years and years. And I was praying that he would know the blessing and the strength that comes through a faith in Jesus Christ. And there was this moment where Mike was in hospital and the doctor came to speak to him at the bedside. And I don't know how, but in that conversation, the topic got onto Asia. And Mike happened to say, oh, I have an old friend who actually he pastors a church in KL. And to his utter shock, the doctor whom he just met said, oh, is that Pastor Miles at HTBB? And Mike was like, yeah, how do you know him? And the doctor said, well, I don't know him, but I do watch HTBB online. I love it. And they continued their chat. And then afterwards, Mike thought, what a coincidence. How can I be speaking to a doctor in Australia about my oldest friend from England, who's now leading a church in Malaysia? Is that you, God? And it sort of began for him a journey of faith and discovery of faith in Jesus. And Mike and his wife and son, they're now part of a local church where they live. And just recently, he said to me that he now knows that blessing of not being alone, of having the Lord Almighty there to carry his burdens with him. God says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. So shall we pray now? Shall we pray for him to fill it again, such that streams of living water will flow from within us? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can come to you. And your promise is that you will fill us with the water of your presence. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Wherever you're watching this right now, the Spirit of God is now resting upon you. And your dry and thirsty soul can receive the life-giving water of the Spirit. And I believe the Spirit is anointing you to lead wherever your sphere of influence. It might be your home. It might be your workplace, your school, with your oldest friend. Come now and anoint us, we pray, that we might be bringers of good news to a dry and thirsty world. And Lord, thank you that the next chapter that lies ahead in our lives, we know, is with you, the one who calls us. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.